If you weren't born with a trust fund, but feel like you should have one, you are in the right place. Welcome to Old Money, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new rules to living well and getting wealthy. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. And while I don't have any insider trading secrets, I do have some secrets about how getting rich is actually an inside job. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Now, let's get into it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. It's me, your host, Amber Evenson. Once again, my co-host Poppy is here sleeping and snoring. So if you hear her in the background, she says hello. How are you doing? Coming to you on a Tuesday morning when this drops with a lot of inspiration. First of all, you guys loved the last episode, Board of Directors. I'm so glad because it took me 3 times to record it. Still working through the video issues, so thank you for your patience. But I really want to say thank you for everybody who's reached out and sent DMs and said that Old Money podcast is part of their board of directors. That means a lot to me. And it reminded me, as I was going through the DMs, we have so many amazing listener questions, and I've been saving them for what? I don't know, a special occasion? Well, the occasion is today. And this question that came through the DMs is honestly so on point, and I can almost guarantee you have dealt with this issue. I have a lot. I'm going to share a personal story about it, and we're going to get into jealousy around money. Really good topic. So before we jump into that, couple of housekeeping items for you. Number one, I'm so excited to be with you guys live on the Old Money Masterclass. It is on Tuesday, October 28th at 4 p.m. Pacific. And what we're talking about are micro actions you can take to enter 2026 clear, confident, and in control of your money. It's really the kickoff to the Old Money Method. Old Money Method is going to be all about getting your money organized, setting up automations, making a machine work for you to grow your wealth so that you can sit back, relax with a glass of champagne and a little bit of caviar. But this is all about the systems, the structure, the way that I run my life, and what I really believe separates the wealthy from the people who are constantly living paycheck to paycheck. It separates the people who are feeling successful and relaxed from the people who are always struggling with their money. I believe that the wealth that we want, the abundance that we crave, the success that we know we deserve is all hiding behind the work we need to do, the things that we're not facing. And I know that this can be incredibly triggering. I know that it can be incredibly overwhelming. So I've taken a lot of care to make this super easy, to make a money routine that actually feels good, and to set up some end of year systems so that you start the new year already ahead of the game. We're not waiting until Jan 1 to start our glow up. We're doing it now. So come join me. I'm so excited to see you guys there. Again, it is on Tuesday, October 28th, 4 p.m. It's on Zoom. And if you go to the show notes, there's a little link in there where you can RSVP. When you RSVP, it's going to drop that right onto your calendar, onto your Google calendar, onto your Apple calendar, onto your Microsoft Word calendar. I don't know what calendar you use, but it's going to put it there and the Zoom link will be in there. The masterclass, again, is on Tuesday, October 28th at 4 p.m. PST. I really want to see you there. Also, I've just been having a lot of fun writing our Old Money Monthlies. Those have been so exciting for me. And if you are getting the newsletter, love that for you. Newsletter goes out once a month with everything that I'm reading, listening to, inspired by, shopping on, all the things. And if you got the newsletter last month, you saw that I was such a good girl and I read 3 novels. I was enjoying my life off of my phone, really happy. This month, totally opposite direction. I have not picked up a book. I cannot even look at it. I cannot even think about it. I have been watching so much television. But I need to tell you all to run and watch this one show with me right now because I watched it last night. And the way that I am so inspired, again, perfect segue after the board of directors. And I've added somebody to my board of directors. You know, Anna Wintour was already there. Next to her is going to be Victoria Beckham. I love this woman so much. And the new Netflix series that just dropped shows the path of her starting her fashion business, how she was doubted, how she still struggles, how even when you're at the pinnacle of success, there's always things that are going to be challenging and go wrong. And it is such a story of triumph. And I number one, love the relationship between the Beckhams. Number two, I think Victoria Beckham is so cheeky and funny, and I love her sense of humor. And number three, me loving Victoria Beckham is like me reclaiming my identity, because I want you to tell me, somebody DM me and tell me, because if you're a girl that grew up in the 90s, you had this experience, what Spice Girl were you? Because I was always relegated to be Sporty Spice. And it's not that I didn't like the role of Sporty Spice. She got to wear Adidas track pants. She did high kicks. She had a great voice. But like, I was only Sporty Spice because that's what my wardrobe allowed at the time. I wanted to be Posh Spice, wearing a little Gucci dress over and over and over in my public school in Folsom, California. Like, that was my true nature. And not even that it was like a little, you know, Gucci dress. It's that Victoria Beckham is the epitome of chic. She is the epitome of in control. She is the epitome of just who I wanted to always be. And I never got to be Posh Spice. I was always Sporty Spice. And now as I'm kind of looking forward towards 2026, and we have some huge changes on the horizon personally that I cannot wait to tell you about, I'm already starting to think about my word for 2026. And this is not something that I've ever really done before, of like my word of the year, but it came through to me so much last night and I just can't ignore it. It's going to be chic. Everything that I do, everything that I put out, everything that I wear, everything that I am is just going to be chic. And this for me is so important as it relates to identity. We're always talking about upgrading our identity so we can collapse timelines, so that we can quantum leap, as all of the TikTokers say, into the realities that we want to live in. And all that we need to do is leverage the law of assumption, just assuming that we are going to get everything we want so we can start acting the way that we want. And me thinking about my life as it relates to chicness and chicness in business and chicness in the way that we put out brands and the way that I, you know, lounge around the house. Am I wearing ratty sweats or am I feeling chic? It's all a choice. It's all about the identity that we choose to put on. And for me, I was like, wow, that's the identity. That's the future self identity that will keep me aligned in the energy that I want to be in. I mean, every single podcast episode we've talked about self-image, going back and looking at things like episode 112, where I talk about becoming your wealthiest self today through scripting your future, recording it, and listening back to it while you go on a hot girl walk so that your bilateral stimulation can rewire your brain. I mean, we're always talking about identity. We're talking about growth, going towards the future self, being that future self so that our future self can attract the mindset and the thoughts and the experiences and the opportunities that we desire. So for me, and you're going to want to subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't already, because I have so many other good show recommendations for you this month, but I digress. So for me, watching the Victoria Beckham show, and I was so locked in, I was so obsessed with the music and the emotion and the drama. And I was like, yes, I need to put that music on our Instagram for AF Marketing. Like, that's the type of movement I want from people. I want them to feel how passionate I am about my craft and our business. Anyway, chicness is the word. And that is the inspiration. And it perfectly, perfectly dovetails into what we're talking about today, which is a DM that I got from a listener that I think is so important. Because my experience of watching the documentary and walking away inspired is not the same experience that we're all having, especially when we're looking at social media. So this question that comes from Aria, and Aria, thank you so much for DMing to ask this question. I think it's such an important conversation, and a reminder to any listener out there, if you want to submit a question, send me a DM. If you want it to be anonymous, you can go on the website, oldmoneypodcast.com. I will talk about every single thing that gets written and about. Like, we have a lot of good episodes coming up that are all talking about things you want to talk about. And again, oh my gosh, I forgot to mention, listener survey is still open until the end of October. So if you have ideas for things that you want to see on the show, or what you want more of or less of or whatever, I'll put the link in the show notes. Go take that anonymous survey. Tell me that you hate me. Tell me that you love me. I don't care. Just tell me what you want to hear. I want to make sure that our community is growing in such a beautiful, aligned way so that we're talking about the things that matter to all of us, okay? So let's get into the DM. Again, Aria, thank you for writing. She says, "Hi, I discovered your podcast and am obsessed. I have been binge listening to it." Thank you so much, Aria. I'm so happy that you're here. I have a topic idea I wanted to submit: how to deal with financial comparison or jealousy of others' financial situations. I think a lot of people struggle with it, and it seems rarely talked about. I must say that as an American who's abroad in India volunteering in a slum, it has opened my eyes and have made me have a lot of gratitude. But the moment I open Instagram, I feel such a lack. Also, can you touch on how to stop beating yourself up over past financial decisions? Okay, first of all, Queen, volunteering in India in a slum and so grateful. You're incredible. This is what I'm talking about, you guys. The old money community of rich girls is far and away the best community on the internet. Sorry to say it. But this is a really important question, and I don't think it gets talked about enough. So I did some research, and I have some actual studies and some data and a plan of how to attack this. But the first thing that I want to say is that, Aria, I think it's really important that you're noticing. You are noticing that you're having an experience when you are opening social media that does not feel aligned with feelings that you want to feel. I actually think that most people walk around this earth being triggered and not even realizing that they're triggered, what's triggering them. And then they are like a rock in a pond when you throw it into a placid lake, that little ripple effect. Their angry energy radiates out from every interaction that they have. So they saw something that made them feel shitty or less than on Instagram, and they go to the grocery store and they're rude to the bag boy, and they cut somebody off in the parking lot, and they flip them off on the freeway. Walking around triggered is, I think, how most of America is walking around right now. And we talk about this a lot in Old Money Mindset. It's literally, basically, how to stop being triggered by absolutely everything in the world. And I explain in the course that I was walking around triggered by so many things, so many deep-seated root cause issues that I picked up in my childhood, that I was basically destroying my relationship with my partner because I didn't have all of that stuff healed. I didn't have strong boundaries. I didn't have strong sense of self. And I didn't know what to do when I was triggered. I was like, oh, okay, that triggers me. Let me lash out. Let me dump my emotions. Let me tell somebody about it. Let me go to therapy. And I was super conscious of it, but I wasn't actually knowing. I didn't know what to do with it to process it. And so this has been a really interesting thing for me as well. And I shared about this a little bit in the last podcast episode about board of directors, but I recently realized this was happening for me too. I have two really specific examples of things that have recently triggered me around money that I really had to sit with it. And I actually went through the old money method. I'm sorry. Well, it's the old money mindset method. Excuse me. That's kind of confusing. But I went through the course like framework and the workbook to work through both of these things. And I now feel at peace about them, but it really brought up a lot of interesting stuff for me. So I mentioned this, like I said, in the last podcast, opening up TikTok and seeing certain creators and being immediately jealous about the success that I perceive that they're having. One of those in particular was Maggie Sellers. You probably know her as Hot Smart Rich. Of like, she always has a perfect slick back. She's beautiful. She has this great brand presence. And then she's doing a podcast that she starts on her own. And then all of a sudden she moves up into doing it into a great studio. She's getting all these great interviews. And I'm like, I want podcast cards, and I want to be in a studio and have somebody else edit it for me. And why am I not doing that? And what's so interesting about that is that I didn't even ask myself those questions. I just decided I didn't like her. I just decided I didn't like this girl. I was like, ugh, I don't even want to see her on my screen. I don't like her. And my brain made up excuses about why I didn't like her. She's not authentic. Ugh, I don't really care. Ugh, like another VC girl. You guys, there's literally nothing truthful about any of those things that my brain was saying. That was a protection mechanism. That was my brain protecting me from being jealous, because I was jealous. I was like, oh, I want to see myself do those things. I want to see myself in a studio. I want to have that brand recognition. I want that growth. And then I was like, wow, I'm really fucking jealous of this girl. It also happened with somebody else that you probably don't even know. This is such a deep cut of a person that I follow. Had to go back and look up her name, but her name was Margot Martin, I think. And she talks about what we talk about here. She talks a lot about mindset and self-image. And I don't even know what her background is or what she's doing, but she's a great follow. And I started to not like her, and I started to skip past her stuff. why was I doing that? Well, because I was starting to get insecure and jealous because we're talking about similar things. And I thought she was more articulate than me. And she was showing up on camera on TikTok, which is something that I struggle with doing. And I was jealous. And again, just like Aria here, I noticed that I was feeling jealous and I noticed that it was bothering me. So my first reaction was, okay, I need to get off TikTok, which is like probably not a bad idea if we're being totally honest. But that is a band-aid and that's avoidance. That is not actually looking at the issue. So in going through the old money mindset program, and if I was, you know, talking about this with any other issue, any other trigger that would come up, I'd pull out my old money mindset workbook and I would go through it. Number one, step one is recognizing it. Recognizing that a trigger of any event, any comment, sensation, it is 100% a signal. It's just telling you something. So it's a signal. It's not a verdict. It's just like an alarm clock, right? It's not threatening you. A trigger is not threatening you. You are safe. So you need to make sure that you calm yourself down, you regulate your nervous system, and you make a note, okay, I'm triggered by this. I need to make sure that I spend time working through this. Maybe right in that moment, it's not the time. Maybe you zip your emotions up, you put the thought in your back pocket, you go about your day, but you make sure to go back and you're gonna deal with it. And then when you're dealing with it, what you're doing is you're like, okay, what's going on in my body? Where do I feel this? Like, am I feeling this tightness in my chest? Am I feeling constriction in my throat? Am I feeling heat rising in my body temperature? Like, what are the feelings that I'm feeling? When we can, number one, scan our body and figure out what it is that we're feeling, we can rate the intensity, we're kind of detaching from the experience. So we want to become an observer of the experience so that we can figure out what's going on, like we're a detective of our emotions. And when we can name the feeling and we can say, I'm feeling jealous, I'm feeling insecure, I'm feeling not good enough, I'm feeling like a failure, all of these things, when we allow ourselves to kind of sit and talk with ourselves about what's truly going on, that's where we really get to the root of the issue. Again, we want to make sure that we're regulating when we're doing this and that we can sit and reparent ourselves. And this is what we go through in old money mindset. And that's all the good juicy stuff. I'm going to leave that for the people that have paid for the course. But one of the techniques that we talk about a lot in the course is the five whys and really asking ourselves to get to the root cause issue of what's really going on with us when we are triggered. Again, jealousy or envy is a signal, not a verdict. It is a signal, doesn't mean anything about you. But you probably have some beliefs that are floating around that are informing the type of glasses that you're wearing while you're seeing this. That's a really, really, really big thing. So for example, we do five whys. We're asking why five times, just like an annoying little kid. We've got to get into curiosity mode, be detached and curious. And we're asking ourselves, why am I triggered when I see Maggie Sellers? Well, I mean, she bothers me. Why does she bother me? Well, her hair is always perfect. Well, why does that bother you? Because my hair is never perfect. Okay, well, why does that bother you? Well, because I think I should look a certain way when I show up on social media. Well, why does that bother you? Because I feel like she's really beautiful and like people, like nobody talks about this, by the way, but people perform well on TikTok when they're really attractive. And then, oh, why does that bother me? Well, sometimes I feel insecure. Well, why do you feel insecure? Well, because I feel like I should be farther along in my business or this or that. And you dig and you dig and you dig and you come to the root issue. And what you're looking to get to is like, what's really going on, sister? What's the big, nasty, negative emotion that your protector parts, and if you know that if you're in the course, you know what I'm talking about, something's coming out to protect you from feeling the thing that you're really afraid of feeling. You're feeling insecure. I was feeling not good enough. I was feeling like a failure, even though I'm not a failure at all, like by any stretch of the imagination, I'm a success. But when you compare your success to somebody else, does that make you feel like a failure? I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing when they're opening up Instagram and they're seeing other people out there that are doing better than them, so to speak. And here's the thing. There's always going to be somebody doing better than you. There's always somebody with a bigger yacht. I've been saying this since the dawn of time, since the dawn of the Old Money podcast. Even when you make it, even when you have the private jet, even when you have the yacht, even when you have the family, there's always going to be somebody out there with a bigger plane, a bigger boat, a bigger house, a bigger family, and you have to not look left, not look right, just focus on yourself. That is a quote from Anna Wintour, by the way, from the Victoria Beckham documentary. When we're opening up social media and we are feeling not good enough, not happy, we don't like where we are, that's an invitation. It's a signal to inspect what it is we really, really have going on. If you are not eating healthy, not exercising, not taking care of your body, neglecting yourself, opening up your Instagram app and seeing everybody that feels healthy and vibrant and beautiful and you don't feel that way, is that an invitation to close the app and look away? No, it's an invitation to look at what you're doing. So there's a couple of things here. Number one, let's use, and I know this is also triggering, but just to take it away from money for a second, let's talk about fitness. Let's talk about health, because I think that's another thing that triggers a lot of people. And I'm going to go there. Like, I know it's a sensitive topic, but let's talk about it. The thing with when you are exercising right, maybe you're on a diet, you have a personal trainer, you go to your Pilates, you're on Ozempic, whatever it is that you're doing, and you're working and loving your body and you're healthier than you've ever been, you still might open your Instagram app and see an elite athlete or a supermodel or somebody with a bone structure that you're just never going to have because that's just not the way that God made your face. And what are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to ignore all of the hard work, all of the effort, all of the amazing things that you've done to take care of your body and just be jealous of somebody else? Or can you celebrate what you are doing? And when I say this, I'm saying it with the assumption that you're taking really good care of your body. I think what a lot of us are experiencing is that we are not taking great care of our body, opening up the app, seeing somebody that's super fit and being super jealous about it. And that's the invitation. That's the difference. That's the invitation to go back and we're looking at your identity. Who are you? Are you treating yourself like an elite athlete? You see this person that you are super jealous of because of the way that they move their body, the way that their body looks. What are they actually doing on a day-to-day to maintain that figure? Are they saying no to desserts? Are they tracking their macros? Have they gone through crazy health issues and they've done, you know, poop testing and gut testing and all the things testing and they've done an elimination diet and it was really hard and they don't eat gluten or whatever it is. Are you willing to do that? We talk about this a lot in my business, but it's all about when we're making decisions or when we're making evaluations, what is the context of what we're looking at here? Here's some of the variables. Number one, where you started. Some people start on third base with long ass legs because their mom is Cindy Crawford. Okay, Kaia Gerber, we're all jealous of you. You're beautiful. It's annoying. We want to be beautiful too. And it seems so effortless for her, right? Well, she just, you know, had the luck of the draw and good for her. We want to celebrate her because honestly, seems like a great family. Love that for them. And we have that as a variable. Wherever it is that we started. And we have to celebrate where we started without looking at where other people started. And then we need to also honor what effort have we put in? Are you on the peptides? Are you working out with a personal trainer? Are you lifting heavier every week? Are you walking on your free time? What are you doing to support your health and fitness goals holistically? Not just when you feel motivated, but because it's your habitual everyday life and that's just your identity. You're an athlete, you're a fitness girly, whatever it is. Like if your identity is fitness, health, exercise, athlete, you're not just doing things when you feel motivated, you're doing them all the time because that's your life, it's your identity. So that's a variable. It's either an invitation to look inward of what we're doing and celebrate that, or be really honest and say, you know what? I'm not participating in the way that I want to be to achieve that goal. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but it's okay to be honest about that. So we have variables about, you know, other people's circumstances. We have variables about our effort, their effort, and we're keeping in mind the context of the fact that there's always going to be somebody with a bigger yacht or a bigger ass or flatter abs or whatever it is. If we translate this over to the money situation, which is just as triggering as body image issues, I know it is. When we open up our apps and we see people that are getting a ton of free merch and they're like, you know, the Michaela of the, let's do this crazy haul of all these Prada bags that I bought. People were super triggered by that. And honestly, I get it. A lot of people out there are struggling. a lot of people out there are struggling to pay their bills. And like her haul just felt so tone deaf and tacky and showy. And for what? We don't need to see that. We don't want to see all of the hauls where this girl's pulling out like 10 different Prada bags when, you know, we're saving for a year for one. I mean, I even feel that. I'm like, that's annoying. I save for my designer bags, you guys. I don't just go and drop money all the time. Like, I'm saving my money for particular bags too, because I'm very intentional about how I curate my wardrobe. And also, I'm very intentional about how I spend my money. So yeah, it's annoying. I totally get that. But when we see people on Instagram that are triggering us, like as Aria said, the financial comparison and jealousy of others' financial situation, let's look at the variables. Maybe they started at a different place than you did. Does that devalue your work to do the best things you can do with your money or the wealth that you've built? It absolutely doesn't. So the starting place, it's always a variable. The second thing is the effort. Are you truly doing what you need to do to build massive wealth? And I'm not talking about skipping lattes and automating your savings. I'm talking about, have you started businesses? Are you buying real estate? Are you doing the things that we know will bring wealth to your life over the long term? Are you investing your money regularly? Or are you canceling your 401k contribution this month so that you can go to Vegas? Are we being really honest about the type of person that we're being? And if we feel that jealousy, it might be because we're out of alignment with what it is that we actually need to be doing. And that looking inward piece, that's the hard piece, guys. That's the piece where our protector parts are going to come out and be like, oh, fuck that girl with her Prada bags and her hauls. Like, that's so annoying. But at the reality, like, we've been staying in the same dead-end job for the last 3 years because we're comfortable and everybody else says the job market sucks. So you haven't looked for a job. You want to get more money, but you're like, oh, my boss won't pay me more. And you're just complacent because somebody told you the job market sucks. When the reality is you can go start your own job. You can go interview and get your at-bats with more and more people. And by the time you get the great job, you've interviewed so many times, you fucking crush it. What is your activity level? You might have started in a different place than somebody who's in a different financial situation than you, but what's your effort? And then also, what are they doing? Are they, there's two ways this can go. Are they being a really good steward with their money, really transparent? They're like, you know, on their money journey, whatever. Or are they living off of credit cards? Because you guys, people are living off of their credit cards. They are deeply in debt, okay? And also just kind of taking the, I guess, the economics around it all, the macroeconomics, like regardless of what you read in the newspaper, people who are investing in the stock market are doing pretty good right now. Okay, the stock market's up. Things are up. People have money. People have equity in their homes because, you know, as inflation has gone up, their equity's gone up because they're not trading their home for a higher interest rate. They're staying there longer. And it's harder to get in a house these days. I mean, there's so many variables there. But, you know, yeah, people are living large right now because they can. And the other thing that we have to remember is classic social comparison theory. It's we're constantly sizing ourselves up against others, always, like every single day. And you're only seeing the people on Instagram that are ahead of you. That's what you're seeing because that's what you're noticing. Your reticular activating system, which is the system in your brain that looks for things, that filters things that fit your narrative. If your narrative is, I'm not doing well enough, you're going to continue to seek out information that reinforces that belief. If you think you are doing really well, and that's a true core belief that you feel, your reticular activating system will filter through all of the information that your brain gets bombarded with every single day to reinforce that fact. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before. I know I for sure go into it in Old Money Mindset, but the reticular activating system is literally just a filter in your brain because there's so much information that we can get bombarded with every single day that our brain needs to literally put blinders on us so that we don't get overwhelmed. So there's only so many things that you notice. It's like when you're driving down the freeway, what do the billboards say? Like, what did you see? You don't know unless you pay attention to it for some very specific reason. Or the very famous example Tony Robbins always talks about is the car example. And the example that I like to steal from him, and I put my own old money twist on it, it's like when you're looking to date a guy, you're into a guy. Think about when you're in high school, when you're in your small town, and you know that the guy that you like drives a Jeep Wrangler, and all of a sudden there's Jeep Wranglers everywhere. You've never noticed them before, but now every 5 seconds you're like, oh my God, it's a Jeep Wrangler. Is that him? And you just start to notice them all the time. You're like, wow, there's so many Jeep Wranglers out there, because you now have your filter on to look for the guy that you like that drives a Jeep Wrangler. So when you're experiencing jealousy and you open your phone, and that sounded a little blamey, but I didn't mean it to be that way, because you know, I just told you, I feel that way as well. And I'm going to get to the other example in a second. It's totally about social comparison theory. That is literally a psychological effect, and the reticular activating system is also a psychological effect. If you feel like you're behind, if you feel like you're not doing well enough, and that's a belief that you carry, your brain's going to filter messages, so that's what you see. So when you see people on social media and you see the best of reel that they put in your face, you actually missed the like update of your friend from high school who posted a picture of their scrambled eggs on a paper plate, because you're not even looking at that. Your brain's not even interested in it. You're filtering for things that reinforce the belief that you have that you're behind. And so you're only going to see the people that are the influencers, that are the celebrities, that are the wealthy people, because by the way, that shit plays. The Becca Bloom effect is real. Like, people like aspirational. People are actually mad at Sophia Richie right now because she had a video go viral of her making breakfast for her baby in a robe. She looked disheveled. She was tired. And people were like, don't show us this. We don't want to see this. You're not relatable to us. We want to see you be aspirational. We want to see you on the private jets. We want to see you in the Chanel. We want to see you in your, you know, quiet luxury rich girl life. And so, you guys, it's social media. Like, that's what it's there for. It's there to entertain. So when we're kind of evaluating, we're in this noticing stage of like noticing the ways that we are triggered, noticing the variables, remembering that everybody has a bigger yacht. These triggers are invitations. Every point of friction in our lives is an invitation for spiritual development. Sorry, I hate to say it. It's so annoying. It's kind of like drinking water actually makes you feel better. Every trigger is an invitation for us to evolve and get closer to the wealthy woman we want to be. So when we get triggered, when we see Rach Parcell's house and we're like, holy shit, I'm jealous of this house, we have a couple of options. We can either decide to take a break from TikTok, put a Band-Aid on it, ignore it, avoid it. We can say we hate Rach Parcell. Ugh, she's so annoying, even though she's like, whatever, who cares? I have no opinion. That's what the Stoics say, by the way. The less you can have an opinion about something, the better, because not everything needs to be judged. And if you just don't judge it, then you're neutral to it and it doesn't affect you. Gorgeous, right? Well, I'm a woman. I'm a Cancer. I'm always on my period, apparently, and I get angry about things. So when I see something and I'm like, I'm jealous of the house, like, what do I need to have the conversation about? Okay, what kind of life is she living? Where did she start? On first base, third base? I don't really care. But the reality is I think she lives in Utah. Does Amber want to live in Utah? I don't want to live in Utah. That's just my personal opinion. No offense to Utah, but like, my life is in California. So yeah, she has a huge house in Utah, I think, but that's her choice. And that's just not the choice that's aligned with me. I could go get a house in Utah if I wanted to. And then she would probably still have a bigger house than me. And then I would just have to say, you know what? There's always somebody with a bigger yacht. But if I was really looking at this opportunity as an invitation to learn about myself, I would say, let's do the five whys. Okay, I'm jealous of her house. Why? Because it looks like she has a lot of space and stability and she's investing in her equity. Okay, interesting. Amber, you said stability. Why does that trigger for you? Well, you know, stability for me means financial security and permanence and some sort of certainty. And that's what a house symbolizes for me. Okay, why does a house symbolize that for you, Amber? Well, because that's what I was taught growing up, and security is a value that I have. And okay, Amber, that's interesting. Why does security matter a lot to you? Because blah, 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 blah. And then the root cause issue is like, Amber, do you not feel secure? Like, Amber, do you feel like you need more security in your life? Can we look at this from another perspective? Like, aren't you actively choosing to live the way that you live right now because of the freedom it offers you, because of the, honestly, affordability of what it offers you, of the flexibility of what it offers you? And I could be like, oh yeah, that's all totally true. But Amber, interesting, you're really hitting on a core need here of stability, and that's a core value. So let's look at ways that you can cultivate stability in your own life, without having a house, without being triggered by it. And that's what we go through in Old Money Mindset. Sorry, I keep kind of plugging this and I don't really mean to. I'm just kind of calling out that I'm not going to go through the reprogramming of all of those beliefs and how to clear those old emotions and beliefs and how to kind of like reapproach and choose again. But the reality is that it's an opportunity for me to explore something within myself. And then this is another thing. It's like stopping the beating ourselves up. You know, Aria says in here, perhaps touching on how to stop beating yourself over past financial decisions. Well, I want to say beating ourselves up about anything, like even beating ourselves up about being jealous or feeling envious. Like, you know, we can rewrite that story all the time. Like if we had past financial mistakes or we have regrets about feeling a certain type of way or whatever it is, like we can rewrite that story in a way that supports where we were at the moment. Because we're not making mistakes. We're just doing the best that we can in every single moment. Honestly, when we factor in things like information, context, options, safety, information, the muscle that we have to build, like getting out of a reactivity space and not being jealous, that's a muscle that gets built. So it's kind of like, if you make a past money mistake or you make a mistake with wasting your energy or feeling really envious about somebody for years on end that you hate for no reason, it's kind of like being mad at yourself for not being able to go deadlift 500 pounds last year. You're like, oh my God, I'm so mad at myself that I went into the gym and they had 500 pounds on the rack and I just couldn't pick it up. I'm so mad at myself. Well, girly, you didn't go to the gym for many years in a row training first with 5 pound weights and then 10 pound weights and then 20 pound weights and then lifting 50 pounds and lifting 100 pounds. It's a muscle that you have to build. It's the same thing with money regret. It's like, you know, I regret that I've told this story before, but when I first adopted Poppy, she was so sick. I thought she was going to die. She had huge liver issues. She was hit by a car when I adopted her and she had like trauma to her liver. She was doing really badly. I left her at this horrible animal hospital and they said she was probably going to die. And I was crying and shaking. And I was like, I'm going to take myself to Anthropology to buy myself candles. I'm crying. I'm on the phone with my mom. I'm pulling into a parking lot in Carlsbad Forum. And I literally sideswipe a Volvo and just fucking scrape the shit out of the driver's side of that car because I wasn't paying attention because I was so upset and crying. And so after spending five figures on trying to save Poppy's life, then I was spending another few thousand dollars in insurance and paying for this person's car. And then my insurance went up, all this stuff. And you know what? I was doing the best that I could in that moment. It was a really expensive month. I was so broke and in so much debt. And you know what? I just didn't know better at the time. I didn't know better at the time how to regulate. I didn't know better at the time how to advocate for myself and my dog for what she really needed, what I really needed, the care that I wanted her to get. I didn't know how to advocate for my own emotions and sitting somewhere and like processing by myself without needing to go distract myself with shopping. I've come so far, you guys. Everybody can grow from this. I mean, there's so many pieces in that. And like, yeah, it was a mistake, but those choices and that experience taught me so much. In fact, it did motivate me to go get her out of that horrible hospital. And I took her to a better one that was way farther away and she got excellent care. And my girl's in perfect health, knock on wood. You know what I mean? Like these challenges come up to shape us into the women that we need to become. Stop looking at it as a mistake and start looking at it like a lesson. And if we've wasted the time worrying about somebody else's yacht, worrying about whatever people are doing. I am going to say you need to process the stuff, but you can also unfollow people. You can also block people. You can also turn off your phone. I do actually block a lot of influencers only because I know myself and I know I'm susceptible to wanting to buy stuff that is just a waste of money. By the way, we're in this process right now of cleaning out our whole house for a rummage sale for my mother-in-law's Thursday club fundraiser or whatever. It's this old legacy club here in San Diego. It's really focused on philanthropy. Every year they do a rummage sale. We have 12 moving boxes full of stuff we're just giving away. And I'm going through these clothes that I have and I'm like, why did I even buy this? These shoes, they're crap. Like all this stuff. I still do accumulate a lot of stuff that I don't need. And I'm like, beating myself up over it. And I'm like, you know what? Now I know better. Now I only buy this caliber of clothes that is basically getting dry cleaned. I'm hardly washing anything that I own anymore unless it's athleisure. Like, that's just the way I want to dress. Do you know what I'm saying? So let's recap where we are right now. And I have a few more tips for you on this. But number one, jealousy is just an alarm clock. It doesn't mean anything about you. It's just a little thing to notice. If you're noticing, that's good, because you don't want to walk around this earth just a ripple effect of being an angry Karen because you're jealous of everybody, but you're not willing to look inward. When we feel jealous, we can do a couple of different things. We can, you know, give ourselves some grace for where we started. We can kind of look at the context of things. We can also get really honest about what it is that we're contributing to the thing that we're jealous about as it relates to the goal. And then we can also remember that even if we have the fittest body of our lives, even if we have the biggest bank account we've ever had, there's going to be somebody with more. Oh, and then also remember, our brain sets us up for failure with this, because if we have underlying beliefs about our worthiness, which you need to work on and clear, can do that in old money mindset, then our brain's going to filter in information that reinforces that belief, because our brain hates to be wrong. Remember? So we know our brain's kind of working against us in this way. We know that we're only going to see the best of real that people put on their Instagram. We're not even paying attention to the scrambled eggs on a paper plate because that's not interesting to us. We remember that aspiration plays really well. So of course you're going to see more of that than paper plates and scrambled eggs, because nobody wants to see scrambled eggs on paper plates. So please stop posting that, you guys. But the reality is yeah, you're going to see more of that. If you're on social media, it's just people that are performing their lives and sharing them with you. You're not seeing your neighbors. Like, if you live in an apartment building and there's 300 units in there, how many of those people are sharing their lives that are super glamorous and fabulous all the time? Maybe one, maybe none. There's a whole bunch of regular people, regular, degular people, just like you, living amongst you, working on the same stuff. So that's the next thing, right? It's like, let's calibrate your reference group. If you are comparing yourself to others, you need to use realistic peers. Look at the age range, the locale, responsibilities, the careers, not to compare yourself, to put yourself above or below them, but to align with people that are more relatable to you, number one. And number two, are living the type of life that's real for you. And you need to be looking at the process, not the outcomes. Like, what systems are they using to run their lives? How are they succeeding in their jobs? How are they starting businesses? Not what are their highlight purchases? Not what's the thing that they buy to celebrate their 1 year in business? Because that's just one day, one moment, 1 year. But there's 365 days of building a business where behind the scenes, there's probably a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And the most important calibration that you can do is actually not even about a reference group of people outside of yourselves. What about past you? Compare present you to past you. Last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you're like, I don't even know that girl. And so, you know, we go through this every year when we do the end of year recap, which I'll do in December with you all, which is one of my favorite things to do. And every year I'm answering the same set of questions and I'm looking back at what I've learned or grown or done over the last year. And you know, I always make this thing, like, we're dreaming about what life's going to be like in 5 years and 10 years. If I look back 10 years from where I am today, I never would have thought in 2015 that I'd be where I am today. Honestly, I had no ambitions for running a business. I didn't think I was capable of doing that, let alone two businesses, let alone in this incredible relationship, like living a very incredible, luxurious, comfortable life. Like, I just, you know, I was hopeful that I would do well, but I didn't think I'd do this well, honestly. And if I look back 5 years ago, when I was looking for 5 years ago, when I had just started my business, I was in a baby business stage, I was like praying that I could find one person to help me with work. I wanted to hire one person. Now I have a team of like seven. I mean, things change so fast and we don't give ourselves any credit on how much we've changed and how much we've grown. So if we compare our present selves to our past selves, that's a reference group I'm interested in. So I mentioned something that a second thing that I wanted to talk about that had triggered me on the internet, and it's about reference grouping. And I think one of the things that's really important to talk about are these parasocial relationships that we have with people that we follow on the internet. And I don't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast before, so forgive me if I have, but I think it's so relevant. If you guys are familiar with Katie Hearn and Hayden Schneider, they are the founders of Alani Nu Energy Drink. And I've been following Katie Hearn since like Instagram started. I feel like back in 2013, I was a little gym rat. I followed her workouts. I did her downloads. I bought her PDFs. She opened this gym in Indiana, Kentucky. I don't really remember. And she and her husband got married. They started to have babies. They had a clothing line. They launched an app. They did supplements. They had a CBD line. And then they started this energy drink. And these are people that I followed for 15 years almost, and saw their stories next to the stories of my good girlfriends and friends, and they were always kind of at the top of my feed. And you get this intimacy and familiarity with people that you follow on social media, because think about it, like most people are looking at social media while they're sitting on the toilet. Like, what's more intimate than that? When you look at somebody talking to camera with you on social media, it's like they're on FaceTime. It's like you feel like you have a relationship with this person, but they're broadcasting to millions of people, and you're, from your own perspective, receiving that message in a way that feels really personal. And I had this familiarity with them because I had seen them grow all this time, and I felt like I was there with them at every stage of the business. And I was like, oh wow, they got a new house, like so happy for them, they're clearly doing well. And then they sold their energy drink company. They sold their energy drink company to Celsius for $1.8 billion. And I got angry. I had a triggered emotional response that I was so irritated about, because I started having thoughts that are so not old money thoughts. I'm like, $1.8 billion, what are they going to do with all that? Like, they don't, that's too much money for one family. That's so stupid. I don't even know why they got that much money. That's so, it's not even like, who cares about energy drinks? What the fuck was I thinking? You guys, my irrational brain was all of a sudden demonizing them for having a super successful exit from a business and thinking like, oh, I'm annoyed. Like, I don't like them anymore because they made too much money. I just, like, it's embarrassing to say it out loud, but I'm just being really honest with you of what I was actually thinking, because you guys, I had a parasocial relationship with them. I felt close with them and connected with them, and all of a sudden they were too different from me and I couldn't relate to them anymore. And it made me not like them for a minute. And I recognized that I had been triggered by that after a couple of days. It took me a few days to like recognize that I was annoyed, but I was shooketh by this news. Like, I could not process it. And there they are, like raising their four cute little boys and living in Colorado or whatever, doing their normal day-to-day stuff. And I'm like, you're $1.8 billion richer. What the fuck is going on? And asterisk, I know that they don't get all the money and they have investors and blah, 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 and taxes, whatever. But my point was that number stuck in my head is so, it was so salient, and I was so jealous. I was so irrationally jealous. And I recognized that I was having a feeling that I wasn't aligned with and I needed to explore it. So I decided to journal on it a lot. And a lot of weird stuff came up. Honestly, a lot of weird stuff came up, but without me going into it, just in the interest of time, these triggers are very normal. And especially when we have these parasocial relationships with people on social media and then we see them do really well, it can be really upsetting for us. Because again, I want to lean back on the science here, social comparison theory. It's the backbone of what's happening. We are judging ourselves by others, and social media just amplifies this. And when we are just passively using social media, we're not creating anything. We're not contributing. We're just seeing other people, not participating in the life that we want to create actively for ourselves. You guys, it's going to lead to envy, and that's going to lead to lower well-being. This pattern shows up in science and lab work and field work and experience sampling work and all these reviews and studies. It just leads to lower well-being. So when we know that money happiness is all relative, because your feelings are going to depend on your reference group, not just your absolute numbers, there's always going to be somebody with a bigger yacht. What do we need to do? What are we going to do with this? If you walk away from one thing from this whole conversation about envy on social media, it is that I want you to see it as an alarm. It's just a diagnostic. It's just a signal. It's an invitation to go deeper within yourself. I think a lot of people, and I know my mom was really guilty of this too, like, it's easy to say things like, oh, they just, you know, they're a trust fund kid. Or my biggest thing was with my mom, like when somebody was mean to me, she'd be like, oh, they're just jealous of you. And like, no, that's not true. Like, that's not always true. That's not the sole reason why everybody's mean to everybody. Sometimes people are mean to me because, like, the little girls that bullied me in the fourth grade, Amanda and Kayla, I'm looking at you, they came from really terrible childhood homes where there was probably a lot of chaos and conflict, and they probably were having a really hard time as little kids, and they were probably modeled some pretty fucked up shit, and they probably didn't know how to be nice. And you know what? Also, we're not meant to be friends with everybody, and those just weren't my girls, and that's totally okay. I digress. Jealousy, triggers, conflict, it's an invitation to go deeper into ourselves, not look outside and blame or shame or come up with stories around why people are doing what they're doing. It is true, and we know this based on data, consumer debt is through the roof. You guys know I've been just harping on not using buy now, pay later services. A lot of people are buying now, paying later for their freaking Chipotle, you guys. I mean, households now own a record $18 trillion in various forms of debt. I mean, people are out there signaling that everything's great and not everything's great. You know what else, context-wise? I mean, we talk a lot about influencers or, you know, business people that are content creators. You guys know they don't pay for a lot of stuff out of pocket. It's gifted to them or it can be a business expense. Like, there are ways, and that's what old money, that's what I really want to get into, is like, how can you do that? How can you get commission for the things that you sell? How can you set up a business structure that supports your lifestyle? How can you be your own boss and the CEO of your life? But the reality is we're comparing something that just isn't relevant. And it can be really hard when you don't have all the information, but you're never going to have all the information. So here's what I need you to know. There's always going to be somebody with a bigger yacht. And jealousy is totally okay. It's an invitation for us to go deeper into what it is that we truly want out of wealth. I always say that the reason we're chasing wealth is because we're chasing the feelings we think wealth is going to bring us. Security, happiness, acceptance, love, admiration, respect. All these reasons we're chasing wealth are for all of those different things that we want to feel. Even, you know, some simple things is like, if I had all the money in the world, I'd be so hot. I'd have the best trainers. I'd have the best face, whatever it is. You want to feel beautiful. It's an invitation for us to look deeper. So we can look at the context, we can use the five whys, we can get to the root cause, we can remember to stop beating ourselves up because we can't just walk into the gym and lift up 500 pounds. We have to take baby steps. That doesn't mean you're going to open TikTok tomorrow, never be jealous again. We're going to build the muscle to deal with the trigger. And we're also going to make sure that we're comparing ourselves against past us, not other people that are just in different spheres. And then here's another couple more tidbits that you can do to deal with the jealousy. You can 100% do a fast. You can block people. You can take TikTok or Instagram off your phone. You can make sure that you are not passively browsing or doom scrolling. That is the pattern that is most tied to envy and lower well-being. There's a study that just came out about that. You can work on a gratitude log where you are writing every single day something that you feel like you could share on social media if it was aesthetic or whatever. Like, my dog kissed me right on the nose 10 times in a row and she loves me more than anything in the world. Or my money situation went right this week when ... Or a tiny upgrade that I did to my life made me feel so rich ... A wealthy win for me this week. Or I'm so grateful for my job or my paycheck or my business or my team. Anything that you do to rewire that you're doing well and working on that core belief that you're not doing good enough is going to help so, so much. And then, of course, let's take some old money action. You're opening your phone and seeing women with these huge Hermes collections. You're feeling jealous. Okay, baby, let's start a savings fund and let's get your first bag. Let's hustle. Let's start selling some stuff that we're not using anymore and getting the bag secondhand. You see the people that are speaking on stages, you want to be there. let's start putting together your keynote. Let's start pitching ourselves. Let's do the things that we need to do. If you are seeing people on a private jet, baby, you can fly to Phoenix on JSX for like a couple hundred bucks. Go have the experience, be in the energy of the life that you want to live and document it. If that's what makes you feel good, that's what makes you feel expressed and fun, and being in that wealthy state of mind is fun for you, don't do it to show off to other people. Do it to show off to yourself. I always say that my Instagram is like my own vision board. It's where I'm crafting the life and showing the life highlights and all of the things I'm the most proud of. My dog, my relationship, our travel, our lifestyle. But I know nobody looks at my Instagram profile more than me. Like, I will go on my Instagram profile and look at my shit because I'm like, I'm so funny. My life is so beautiful. My dog is so cute. It's a collection of all my favorite pictures and things and moments and places. And it's for me. I'm not posting for anybody else. I'm posting for me. So listen, social media, it's an epidemic, my friend. Like, I totally get it. And there's a lot of really compelling content on social media. Remember that the aspirational stuff is going to come to the top. So I'm not going to be surprised if you see more of it, but it's all what we do with it. So I invite you to use that as a place for growth so that you can see what comes up and support yourself, hold yourself, heal yourself, so that you aren't affected by whatever it is that you see. I said this quickly and I want to repeat it again, but Marcus Aurelius, he's a Stoic from, you know, ancient Greece. He was an emperor and he says, have less opinions. The less opinions you have, the less you need to judge. And the less that you judge, the happier you are. And that's not a direct quote, but that's kind of the gist of it. And the reality is like, we're just wired as humans. I'm wired as a woman to judge people and myself and everything that's going on. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. But the more that we focus on ourselves and our situations and stop looking outside of ourselves, the happier we will be. It's the truth. I've been really happy on this episode. I'm so grateful for you writing in, Aria. Thank you for sharing what you're working on. Thank you for volunteering and writing in, being a part of this community. Again, anybody who has a question, let's do a few. I'm going to do a couple more of these back to back of some of these question and answers. I've got some good ones that I've been saving. So stay tuned, more question and answers. If you have questions, DM me, send me an Instagram, send me a TikTok, send me a note through our website, oldmoneypodcast.com. I just like blacked out. Sorry. I don't know what happened. And then you know where to find me. I love you guys so much. And I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening, you're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of old money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money. Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development, and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.